on, are we? Yeah, good. Welcome to church, everyone, on this fifth Sunday of Lent. And a special welcome to any visitors we have with us today and anyone listening online. My name is Roy. Helping me in today's service are our musicians, Irene, Rosemary, Linda. Stuart will be coming along to read the Bible later. Rosemary will lead us in prayer, and Trevor will be bringing us our Bible study. Our Bible teaching. We here at Abbotsford Anglican are a group of local people of all ages and backgrounds who have come to find meaning and purpose for life by living life God's way, according to his word, the Bible. We invite you to know God with us. And so our Bible teaching today is a continuation of the sermon series on Back to Basics. So what have you got for us today, Trevor?
Well, thanks, Roy. Welcome, Roy. It's good to see you leading the service. Just a quick little heads up to start with. It's obvious for me to tell you that it is difficult living in this world as a Christian, especially for our younger people like Naomi and Charlie. It really is not an easy thing. And so today we're going back to basics. We're just thinking about, well, do we take matters into our own hands? How do we go about dealing with being in the world but not of the world? And that's our today, this sort of thing.
Yeah, thanks, Trevor. A reminder of our mission focus for this month of March. Our mission focus is twofold. One on the Bush Church Aid Society, and in particular the work of the Pharisee family, Daniel and Rebecca and their children, Rachel, Jessica and Emily, hard at work there in the parish and in the parish of Kununurra, which is a big parish. And also, secondly, our focus on the Ministry of Anglicare, and in particular on Anglican hospital chaplains, and especially our friend the Reverend David Antonies at Concord Hospital. Our sentence of scripture for today: the Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. And now we invite you to stand for our first song, 10,000 Reasons.
Bless the Lord, oh my
Please be seated. We have come together to meet with God and to take our part in the building of His church. Christ Himself bore our sin in His body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By His wounds we have been healed. Let us acknowledge our failure to serve Him as He deserves and return to the Lord with repentance and faith, praying together. Heavenly Father, You have loved us with an everlasting love, but we have often gone our own way and rejected Your will for our lives. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them. For the sake of Your Son who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us, and change us. By Your Holy Spirit, enable us to live for You and to please You in every way, for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's love towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Give praise to the Lord. Call on His name. Among the nations what He has done. Now, Trevor's going to introduce a spot for the children.
Thanks, Roy. Jesus said from Matthew 7, wide is the road, wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. It was our sentence of scripture for last week for those of us who were here. We may remember that. Wide is the gate that leads and broad that leads to destruction, and narrow is the gate that leads to life. That gate is Jesus. It's not easy living life God's way in an unbelieving world. is it? It's telling you to suck eggs, really. It's true, isn't it? It's not easy. We long to be in heaven. Well, I hope you do, all right? We long to be with the Lord and to be with him. But we're here on earth, and at times we can find that extremely frustrating. And we may get angry with the world, and we may want to take matters into our own hands and make heaven here on earth. Or at times we may feel like we're so discouraged and despondent that we give up and we just think, there's no heaven. Here's all it is. And then there's other times where we just don't care. And there may be times when we do feel like that. And there's other times when we're just looking and longing, just like that last song we sang, you know, to be with the Lord and to be with him there. Being in the world and a Christian and living it very ultimately opposite culturally to the world is difficult and it's hard. And Jesus said that we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Why do we stop and wait at a red light? That's over to you. Why do we stop and wait at a red light? It's obviously dangerous to drive off or to walk across when the sign says stop. Sorry, Stuart? It's the law. Yeah, it's the law too. But why else? Why do we stop, wait at the red light? I gather there may be just at times when we're rushing and we're really in a hurry, where you might be a little bit frustrated with the red light, okay? But why do we stop and wait at the red light, even though? That's right. Because we know that it will eventually turn green, and then we will be the time for us to go, all right? If you didn't think it was going to turn green at some point, well, you know, you might want to think of taking the law into your own hands or, you know, or finding a different route. But we stop at the red light because we know it will eventually turn green and then will be the time for us to go. Waiting for heaven, waiting for a time that's not now, nor will it be now in this life, on this earth, but in the time to come, we need to be patient. And as the scriptures remind us, James does, be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains, as we've had the autumn rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, writes Paul, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that even though it's difficult, your labour, your living life God's way, according to his word, the Bible, is not in vain. The parable of the wheat and the weeds, which this adults will hear a little bit more in depth in the teaching time, will go into this in more detail. But Colin has a great song to remind us that in the meantime, while we wait patiently, it's good to practice being godly. So let's stand. It's a song we've sung before, and so let's join in with Colin. Yeah, I wonder where Colin's going to take us today.
Glasses off. Yep, we're ready to go. We're going soon. Camera one ready. Standing by. by. Standing by. All right, give us the call. Call. Give us the count. Colin, give us the count. Yep. Now five and four and three and two and one. Roll tape.
Here we go. Sing along with me and Colin. Have you seen those fit and healthy guys always doing their exercise? Attitude track for the weight to come. So practice being godly.
Never give up, make it your aim. Practice being godly. If you've been forgiven in Jesus' name, practice being godly. He paid the price for all our sins. His Holy Spirit will dwell in. So center weights, you can swim or run a train every day to be number one, but it's better to train for the life to come.
Practice being godly.
Never give up, make it your aim.
Practice being godly.
Be forgiven in Jesus' name.
Practice being godly.
He paid the price for all our sin. His Holy Spirit dwells within. So sin. Say no,
practice being godly.
Never give up, make it your aim.
Practice being godly.
If you've been forgiven in Jesus' name,
practice being godly.
Pay the price for all our sin. His Holy Spirit dwells within. So center all you do on him.
Practice being godly.
You gotta practice being godly.
Well, take time just to turn to the person next to you and say, good morning, welcome to church. The Lord be with you and also with you. The Lord be with you, Roy. The Lord be with you,
Heavenly Father, give us faith to receive your word, understanding to know what it means, and the will to put it into practice through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Bible reading this morning is from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 13, and beginning to read at verse 24. You can find it in your pew Bibles on page 979. You can follow it along in your news and notes or simply on the screen behind.
Good morning, everyone. I was just thinking about that story, Trevor, and wonder what Italian drivers would have answered that question like. Yeah. So, starting Matthew chapter 13, verse 24. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where, then, did the weeds come from?" "Well, an enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. His disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. He answered, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the burning, blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear. And this is the word of the Lord.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, the Bible. Each time we open it, whether in our own private Bible reading of a day or here as we gather this morning as brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, we know that this is the way you speak to us. This is the way you make yourself known and reveal yourself to us as your Spirit guides us and points us to your word. Loving Father God, please help me again to teach your word correctly, and may we experience your Spirit guiding us into truth and being able to apply it to our lives, encouraged as we wait for the day when Jesus, you come and take us home. We ask this in your name. Amen. Well, turn with me to Matthew's Gospel there. Please open up your Bibles. It should be still open, or you've got it there in front of you in your handout in the news and notes as well. This is the next parable that Jesus gives to those, to the crowd and the disciples as well. It follows immediately on from the parable that we saw last week of the soils there. And so it's the next little parable that Jesus gives. If you're uncertain as to why Jesus spoke in parables, then I encourage you to go back and listen into last week's sermon on Bible teaching on the reasons for parables. But the purpose of the parables for was to be explained to the disciples. Now, knowing that what they will be doing when they continue Jesus' ministry, sometimes we actually think that they're actually like illustrations. They were meant to be for that present generation they're gathered, an easy story for them to actually understand. But Jesus spoke in other times stories that were meant to be understood by the crowd. But when he spoke in a parable, the scriptures tell us, Jesus tells us, he spoke it so that that generation wouldn't understand it, but that the disciples, it was meant for them to know, so that when they would continue their Jesus' ministry later, would understand how to apply it. So each of the parables that Jesus speaks here is about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. And Roy, I'll just grab my... And when we think of the kingdom of heaven, we're thinking here about what it means to be living in God's family, where God is the king, Jesus is the king. So it's living under the rule of Jesus. And so when Jesus is giving a parable and he's explaining it to his disciples, and they go away and they remember it later and they apply it to their lives, and then we apply it to our lives now, post the resurrection, we realise that it's actually, there's stories, there are illustrations of what it means to be God's people in God's place, under God's rule, what to actually expect when we find, and what we're actually meant to be doing or not doing under the rule of King Jesus in God's family, the King. And so this parable, as we see there in verse 24, Jesus told them another parable, and it's a parable about the kingdom of God. And it's divided into two sections here. Firstly, the section is the parable. He tells the parable in verses 24 through to 30. And then he tells another parable straight after that, the one about the mustard seed, which is about the kingdom of God as two. And then the disciples come and ask for the meaning of the parable, knowing that they've heard that it's meant to be for them to understand. So they go and ask him, and that's verses 36 to 43. So let me just read again, verses 24 to 30. Here is the parable. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the weeds sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to burn, then gather the wheat and bring it into the barn.'" I have to laugh because I'm a gardener. Rosemary's a gardener. And I was doing some gardening yesterday, and I've planted out the winter veggies. And if I see a weed coming up amongst the plants, I want to pick it and take it away, all right? And I dread the fact when I get back after 3 months of being away, how much weeds are going to be all amongst all the vegetables in there. I'm sure Jonathan will look after things well. But it's interesting here, it's the servants here, firstly, the parable. The parable, remember, is being told to the crowds and to the disciples. It's a story, okay, about the kingdom of heaven, living under the rule of God's king, Jesus, in his family. The crowd hear it, the disciples hear it. And it's explained here, the kingdom of heaven, or God, what it stands for will be, it's living in God's kingdom under the rule of God's king, Jesus, in a world and in a life to come. That's what the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is meant to be when we read that. But note the reaction of the servants here. They're surprised. They're questioning. They think they should take matters into their own hands. Look there, firstly, they are surprised. "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field?" Knowing it's just a parable, all right, but it's interesting that the story is, he says, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field?" It's strange to the servants that their farmer, knowing their farmer, would actually sow weeds amongst the good seed. And so they ask the question, "Well, this is just out of character. You don't do that," right? And then where did the weeds then come from, right? And the farmer explains, "Well, I didn't do this. The enemy did it," all right? And the servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" Can you hear what the servants are saying? They say, "Do you want us to take matters into our hands and help you out here and make your field look much better, all right, with just the wheat here, no weeds? Do you want us to take the sword," you might say, "to the weeds and remove them and just let the wheat grow in this field of yours?" Note the farmer's answer. No. That's the first thing. No. That's not what we do, all right? He answered, "Because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow it together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and then tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it in to my barn.'" Now, listening to it, as the crowd would and the disciples first, obvious good farming techniques, all right? And at this point, they're listening into and they'll be thinking, yeah, that's typical farming. That's what we do. But then the disciples come to Jesus and they ask, then for the meaning of this parable. Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. And Jesus answered them at this. The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is at the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. And so we have here the explanation of the various characters and the people in the story. But what's the meaning? What's the meaning to the disciples? And here we have the meaning in verse 40. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear. The meaning of the parable is this. The protection of the people of God's kingdom and the removal of all sin and evil. God will do this, not us, in his time and in his way. It's easy to sort of focus there on the judgment, right? And yes, there's judgment, and to think, boy, that seems really harsh. But the parable and its meaning here is about Christians, you and I, knowing that it's difficult in this world, as the disciples will find it when they go about as apostles, continuing Jesus' ministry, they're going to be discouraged and to find it very hard being in the world, but not of the world. And they'll be tempted at times to think, do I take matters into my own hands? I struggled with a man in our previous parish, a lovely man, and I struggled in a way with discipling and pastorally caring for him. He's gone to be with the Lord now, and he knows. He longed for heaven now. His wife died within the first couple of weeks of me moving into the parish at San Susi, and we walked with him, and they had no children. And he longed for Nellie, and he longed to be with the Lord, not only to be with Nellie, but also to be with the Lord. And it was hard for him to be patient. He got so frustrated with the world around about him that he longed for heaven now. And his prayers, though praying for God's kingdom to come, were prayers like, wipe them out. Get rid of them. Bring heaven here now, Lord. You know, save us, rescue us, bring it here now. I want to know it now. Patience was hard for Don to wait for the Lord's timing. Very much like the servants in that time, in the little parable, to take matters into our hands. I wonder if the servant there who picked up the sword to wipe, you know, to take off the other person, at the garden, in garden was like that, taking matters into their own hands there and failing to be patient. It is hard being Christian in the world. It is hard. It is very difficult, especially if we want to live a godly life in Christ and to practice being godly. But the parable that Jesus gave to the disciples is a way of encouragement to them as they would go about continuing Jesus' ministry and teaching, and then we would hear this and do likewise, is that God is concerned about protecting his people, and he will protect his people. He will remove all sin and evil one day. Heaven has no evil. Heaven has no sin. Where we're going, when Christ returns, then is what we long for. Then God will do that in his time, not us now, to bring about heaven here on earth. And that's what the parable of the weeds is about. The protection of the people of God's kingdom. God will do it. He will do it in his time and in his way. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. There will be a time that we long for when it will be. Now, until our death or the Lord's coming and being taken home, is not yet. Then is the time. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Heavenly Father, grant us the grace to go from here today remembering to be patient and to wait for you to so bring your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Thanks, Roy.
Please join with me now in saying these verses from Psalm 119. May your unfailing love come to me, Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then I can answer anyone who taunts me, for I trust in your word. Never take your word of truth from my mouth, for I have put my hope in your laws. I will always obey your law forever and ever. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. I will speak of your statutes before kings and will not be put to shame. For I delight in your commands because I love them. I reach out for your commands, which I love, that I may meditate on your decrees. Glory to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning,
is now, and evermore. Amen. Please stand now for our second song of the day. Hear our prayer.
Spring. pray, but for strength that we might walk with you this day. So we pray in faith, your will be done, as we long to see your kingdom come. We ask with one voice, we ask with one voice, through
please be seated. Let us now affirm our faith together as presented by Paul in his letter to the Colossians. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Let us pray for the zeal to follow Christ. Will you join me in this prayer? Father, help us to be like Christ your Son, who loved the world and died for our salvation. Inspire us by his love. Guide us by his example, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Father, in this season of Lent, through the death of your Son, Jesus Christ, we are often reminded of our own difficulties and struggles. Sometimes we feel like our lives have been marked by such grief and pain. We don't see how our circumstances can ever change. But in the midst of our weakness, we ask that you would be strong. Lord, rise up within us. Let your Spirit shine out of every broken place we've walked through. May your power be manifest through our own weakness, so that others will recognize it as you who is at work within us. We ask that you will replace the ashes of our lives for the beauty of your presence, our mourning and grief for joy and gladness, our despair for hope and praise. We give you thanks today that you are always with us in whatever we face. We know that you are sovereign, so we thank you for the victory that is ours because of Christ Jesus. And we are confident that you have good in store for our future. We thank you that you are at work right now, trading our ashes for beauty. We praise you and make all things new in your time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord our God, we ask you to strengthen and encourage all whose ministries are supported by the Bush Church Aid Society, especially the Pharisee family in Kununurra. For Daniel and Rebecca and their children, Rachel, Jessica and Emily, we pray for the several Bible studies, that through these more people are looking to grow as Christians through studying God's word. We pray for the often sad and difficult times as people in Kununurra and in the congregation come and go. Sustain the ministries already occurring and give strength and endurance to the leaders and congregation members who are helping in various ministries. Refresh Daniel and Rebecca in times of discouragement and loneliness, and call others to stand with them in making Christ known. We pray that through the ministry of the word and sacraments, through caring service and support for young people, the message of your redeeming love may be proclaimed and accepted by the people of our land. And we ask these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We bring before you today the work of Anglicare in school chaplaincy work in the hospitals. We thank you for David Antonez at Concord Hospital for his diligent service to you in caring for people in their greatest time of needs and for their families. We pray that you will give him strength to continue this work, to always seek your grace and mercy, especially when circumstances are difficult. And we ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Almighty God, creator and preserver of our world, have mercy on our broken and divided world and banish the spirit that makes for war. We ask that leaders of nations and governments will pursue freedom, justice and the welfare of all people. We pray especially for all affected by the ongoing wars between Palestine and Israel, Ukraine and Russia, and for the conflict in the Democratic Republic of Congo. We bring before you those who are grieving, those who are displaced and whose livelihoods are lost or threatened. Help the leaders of these countries and also the world's nations to protect the vulnerable, provide aid, and to establish justice and peace. We pray that you will preserve their lives and strengthen their resolve as they work together to care for all affected. Comfort them, we pray. Give wisdom to those in authority in every land, and give to all peoples a desire for righteousness and peace, with the will to work together in trust, to seek the common good, and to serve with justice the resources for this earth. Heavenly Father, in an uncertain world, please turn the hearts of all people to your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and to the peace that passes all understanding. And we ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you call us to live together under the rule of law and under the leadership of governments in every kind. We pray today for our state leaders, for our Premier Chris Minns and the Leader of the Opposition, Mark Speakman, that they will have guidable hearts. Help them to have a true sense of service and a desire to obey the law of love which transcends all man-made laws, and grant them a desire to serve justice rather than the convenience or personal political advantage. Give them wisdom as they continue to manage current state concerns, in particular the concerns with affordable housing, rising living costs and infrastructure, and the current political climate. Father, hear our prayer through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray for those in need, for those who are sick, suffering, the poor, the distressed, those who grieve, and for those who care for them. We pray for those of our congregation, family and friends who are unwell or in need at this time. So please take time now to bring them individually before our Heavenly Father. Comfort and heal, merciful Father, all who are in sorrow, need, sickness, or any other trouble. Give them a firm trust in your goodness. Help those who minister to them and bring us all into the joy of your salvation. Father, hear our prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And as we approach Easter, we particularly pray, Heavenly Father, for the Easter services and activities. We pray that you will give us boldness to ask people to come along so that they may hear of your great love for us shown through the death of your Son, Jesus. Use these activities, we pray, so that our hearts may be filled with joy and our spirits be lifted. May the message of the Easter inspire us to live with faith, hope, and love each day. Hear our prayers through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
To the announcements now. The first announcement regards the annual general meeting, which will commence at 10:45 sharp, after the conclusion of this service. If you're a regular member here, please try your best to attend, and we thank you for doing so. So there'll just be time to go out and obtain a cup of tea or coffee, and if you haven't got time to drink it, then bring it back in here and be back for 10:45 for a very important annual meeting. Okay, in the lead up to Easter, we have a Passover meal on the evening before Maundy Thursday, so that's a week on Wednesday, and it will be here in the church foyer. And you're invited, if you haven't already put your names down on a list at the back of the church, you're invited to do so, and call Rosemary during the week. And a reminder of the Easter services, Good Friday and Easter Sunday both commence at 9:30 in the morning. We thank you for regularly supporting the work here at Abbotsford Anglican Church, both online and through the offertory box, and for supporting the mission, our monthly mission focuses, through the envelopes at the end of the pews. And if you'd like personal prayer at the end of this service, Young Lan and Jeff will be out at the front here and we'll be happy to pray with you. Okay, well, you can stay for morning tea and continue the fellowship, but briefly. And now Trevor would like to add a few more announcements.
Just thanks, Roy. Just one. Next week, we have a guest coming, not as a guest speaker to us, but to our young people that are here. And we'll hear more about why we've invited them next week. But they're from the Bible League. And so we'll have the director of Bible League coming to speak to our young people and to us briefly about their work in this place of distributing the scriptures throughout Australia. There will be an opportunity to give towards that ministry from us on that day. So if you, I'll have a separate box available that you could give towards that ministry to inform you of their work in the meantime as you think about praying about that. As you leave today, as you go out the door on the right-hand side with the with also the other things that are there, Central Jesus and the Southern Cross, will also be the little brochures or pamphlets about the work of the Bible League. Thanks, Roy.
So please stand now for our final song of the day, sung to that lovely tune from Finlandia.
Change and tears are past. All say.
as we prepare the end of the service, a reminder of our sentence of scripture for today. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Jesus Christ had, so that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And now, tea and coffee, and then back for the annual general meeting, please.